This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Do you want to test your mic? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Is this mic on?
Yes.
The mic is on. What does Beyonce say? The mic is on. This is something that's not spoken about at all. As Black folders navigating through uni,
mm-hmm.
we don't get to live in these situations.
No.
We have to survive in them.
And yeah, now we're here.
Now we're here. We made it this far. Hiya, and welcome to the Sovereign Podcast, a show made by sister girls for sister girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people who may relate.
We come to you from Borloo as two First Nations women from the outer regions of WA, with so many stories of home and navigating our lives here in the city.
Central to our show is our Black lens and perspective, which comes from our lived experience as Black girls in today's society. On the Sovereign Podcast, we will talk about topics that stretch from First Nations affairs to beauty and fashion, navigating university, relationships, life in your 20s, and everything else in between.
We hope that through this podcast, you learn, laugh, and feel the love, comfort, and sisterhood we are bringing to you with every episode. So stay tuned.
Hey, you mob.
It's IJ.
And Sha.
And welcome back to the Sovereign Podcast. I'm going to address the elephant once again. Guys, we all know the stupid outro where I'm like,
yeah, I've been listening
to Sovereign. Where I'm like so sick and dying. And that was last year. And once again, I'm sick because I get tonsillitis like 5 times a year.
Really?
And like in the doctor was like, oh, in the public system, you have to have it more than 7 times in a year to get them removed. But if you have private health, you can get it removed whenever you want. I was like, are you serious?
What the hell is this?
I was like, are you serious? So I'm broke. I'm broke and like I don't have private health, so I can't get my tonsils out. Like, rude.
So you're just going to be sick every consecutive year?
Yeah. It takes me out of work, like, what, a couple, like, more than a month in a year if I'm getting it, like, that many times.
Not fun.
I reckon I'm holding a record. Guys, last year I had COVID twice, the flu once, strep throat, and tonsillitis. Like, be so for real.
It's like, what's the word? Your tonsils are the one thing in your body that you can remove without it impacting you. So why do we have it in the first place?
Exactly.
Why do we have it in the first place?
I grew up as a singer and I was a yap, my actual butt cheeks off. So like my throat has just like been, it's always been working a 9 to 5. Like, so I got to the point where I was like so fed up. I literally looked the doctor in his face. I'm like, just tell me, do I have low immunity or something? Is there something wrong with me? He was like, oh, it's like, it's not to do with that. And I'm like,
but it kind of is, bro.
So yeah, double Be espresso. I've had Codrils.
Oh, no.
They gave me steroids, which I know steroids is not like Jack's steroids,
but you need
steroids.
Yeah.
But like
that's how bad it was.
I felt like something was crawling out of my skin.
Ugh.
Because it was keeping, they were like, don't take it at night, take it in the morning. And I felt like something was crawling out of me. Like the steroid anxiety was real.
Oh my God, that's
don't do steroids, guys.
don't do steroids. Don't do drugs.
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, gosh, so you've had a crazy week.
Yeah, but Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
I think I made a mental note to say that, and then like my mouth didn't agree.
You said it properly though.
I was like, oh, remember to tell Charlie, like, remember to mention Ramadan.
Ramadan Mubarak.
I literally glitched, guys. I glitched. God, my brain told me what to say, my mouth like just didn't agree.
I'm crying.
Charlene was just talking about like how her white manager was just trying to be in with the times, so, and like I feel like she would have come out with
No, it's just that the fact that your eyes got wider.
Guys, the steroids are real.
Well, oh no, the steroids are real. Thank you, Ramadan Kareem. IJ, you're so sweet. IJ was like the first person to post it on her story, which was so cute. You were literally the first person
I saw.
I'm so
intrigued and interested in it, in the whole concept of Ramadan, and I really enjoy listening to people's reasoning for it and experience. Like,
yeah.
I find it really overwhelming how, like, that kind of sacrifice.
It is overwhelming.
Like, obviously, people do different religious things, but I find that really unique. Also, I'm on Ramadan TikTok.
Are you actually?
So it's like people's like morning routines and stuff.
Iftar routine.
Yeah.
Not iftar routine. Like what I eat during iftar.
Mm-hmm.
That's like my favorite thing to watch in Ramadan.
I know. And it's so interesting. People trying to like find cheat codes for like hydration and stuff. I'm like, bruh, that is
in
so
the
stressful.
Morning. during the day. It's crazy. Well, yes, it is Ramadan. It's like we hit the mark where all the headaches are coming in. You go through this period when you first start Ramadan. Actually, wait, people don't even know what Ramadan is.
Some people might not. If you don't, I'm like, don't, like, keep up.
Well, you know what? It is a month during our Islamic calendar. It's one of the five pillars of Islam. So Islam has five pillars. You've got Hajj, which is pilgrimage, and you only go at a certain time during the year. You've got reading the Quran, which is self-explanatory. It's like reading the Bible. You've got prayer, which is, again, self-explanatory. You've got zakat, which is charity. So you have to continuously give charity. And charity doesn't have to be money. It could be offering people a smile during the day, which I find beautiful. Is that four? Yeah. And our last one's Ramadan, which is fasting. So we fast for a month. And when I said this to someone who did not know what Ramadan was, they assumed you fast the whole month and you don't.
You're so brutal.
And I'm like, okay, no, that's not how it works. So you wake up at a certain time during the day called suhoor. And that is before dawn, essentially. Before the sun rises, you eat, you chug a lot of food, and then you start your fasting for the day. I'm grateful because I've never had to fast in summer during my life because it's always been during winter.
Fair enough.
Or it's always been during autumn, which we're at right now, where the days are a bit shorter, so you're only fasting, what, 12 hours a day.
Oh, I didn't think of that.
If the sun sets early.
It's not an hour thing. It's a visual thing.
Oh, but, like, sugar. There's people in, like, other countries that are fasting for, like, 17 hours, and I don't know how they do it in the heat as well. But I'm really grateful. I think we're going to get to that point in, like, a few years' time anyway. I think we're going to have to fast in summer because it always goes back.
The day of Ramadan changes.
It goes back. But, yeah, that's essentially what it is. So I've been fasting and... Boy, oh boy, I literally ran here. I'd had my first sip of water in the studio. I only had one spring roll and two pieces of fruit. And I was like, you know, and I felt full. That's the stupidest part. Like, I felt full after having that. And I tell you why. In Islam, we have this thing, and this is just, I'm going to end this conversation after this. But we have this thing where it's like, it goes to show how greedy one can be. And the moment you feel fulfilled, it's not enough. So, not enough. It's like, it's enough. You know what I mean? So, the whole point of fasting is to empathize with the poor.
Yeah.
And we do that. And it also has really good health, for health reasons as well. It's meant to help your body. It's also good for your mindset. And it's a time where you have to be spiritually inclined. So, that requires praying, reading Quran. And if not doing that, a lot of people don't listen to music, each to their own, and just instead listen to, like, Islamic podcasts. There was a few people on my Instagram who were posting their playlists and I've been listening to them.
That's
so
nice.
Sweet. And it's also about breaking bad habits. So I know, for some people, if they're smokers or whatever, they use Ramadan to also quit. Like, I know some people who've quit smoking because they did one Ramadan and they were like, oh, wow, I've learned how to live without it. I can surely do it. So it's a really spiritual time of the month. It's unfortunate that not a lot of people, I feel like, if in Australia, it's different when it comes to stuff like this because we don't sell. It's not really visualized. It's not celebrated.
Yeah, we're a secular country, so I feel like in a predominantly Muslim country.
Even America, like my auntie who lives in America is telling me she has like Ramadan markets. And I'm like...
Yeah, or maybe it's a Perth thing because I think they do that in Sydney.
They do that in Lakemba, Sydney. I know. I'm so jealous. I wish I was there.
Take inspiration from Ramadan. Like,
really? What do you do during Ramadan?
Okay, well, I just find like the concept very... inspiring.
I sent you a Ramadan TikTok the other day just for laugh. I don't know what it was.
When we get on the same side of Ramadan, I sent you something as well. Like, I just get on the Ramadan memes and I just start.
Yeah,
like,
did.
They're
Which
so funny to me, even
How about
though
we
I'm not
read
Muslim.
It? Like, I feel like you will understand this one because you understand a lot more than I thought. Oh, this one's funny. How my non-Muslim friend feels after telling me something is haram and it's just a sheikh.
Don't!
And you did that to me once. I'm like, what? You're like, isn't that haram? I'm like, what?
Okay. I know. Like, I'm not. Like, okay. I'm mighty. I find it really interesting, and it's a reminder to not live beyond your means.
Yeah.
And to test yourself of how much you really need to be fulfilled or happy or, like, to just be 100%. Healthy or whatever. Like, I find, like, that's a good reminder for anybody, even if it's not religiously tied. Yeah. Like, especially when we think about the people in the world right now that have nothing.
Yeah. Oh.
You know? It's what we have to do in our country here is a minute sacrifice, you know what I mean?
It's like, it's just a really, a small one.
Yeah.
I'm very grateful, and so, it reminds, it, I think
it's
this
a
month,
very good reminder.
This month reminds you to be grateful. Yeah, we blessed in the West, no doubt. North to the South, all we're about is keeping all the mob together. We stay on forever because we want it better. Say now. Anyways, IJ, so we're not going to do any recommendations this episode because we're going to start with something I think you wanted to also bring up, and I think it's really important to bring up because it's happened recently.
Yeah.
And trigger warning, this topic does explore themes that could be quite upsetting,
especially
confronting
to First Nations people.
Especially to our mob.
This episode will come out a bit later, but around this time, we were kind of umming and ahhing of whether to speak about this or not, and that's not to be ignorant at all. That is because we created this podcast trying to humanise the Black female activist and remind people that she has interests and
a personality, and then
the life outside of always advocating for mob and all the things that we're passionate about. But there also comes a times when we do need to speak about things, and that's like what we did with The Voice and Invasion Day and Palestine and all those things, and this is kind of another one of them. So if you think back, which will be when you hear this, there was an incident in my hometown, which is Broome, where a man, a 45-year-old white man, was charged with some kind of assault charge. So it gained a lot of traction actually across Australia. Like, I saw the mum did an interview on 60 Minutes it really hit home. I mean, that's my hometown. That happened down the road from me. It really, really hit home. There's so much wrong with it, and I think we know that. That's another reason why I was like, I don't need to come on here and tell people why it's wrong. We all know why it's wrong.
We know why it's wrong. We know that this happens quite frequently as well. Can't even remove the image from my head.
And I just want to say this, like, mob included, as a someone that's also worked in education, I don't know why I saw so many people posting their faces. Like, it made me so upset.
It's really disgusting to see that, yeah.
It's quite bad. And, like, if you don't know better, then that's fine. But, like, child safety is really, really important.
It is.
And their faces were plastered everywhere.
You're meant to keep their identities disclosed.
Yeah. And that's not just because they're black. That's for any kids.
Any
and you don't know
kid.
What's going on. And that's on top of them being in a small town, on top of people now kind of knowing the suburb that they live, seeing their mum on the news, and there's only like 4 primary schools in Broome. Like, be so free. Like, I really was upset by that because I was like, come on, you mob. Like, the last thing they need is to be recognised. Mind you, Broome is a really racist place. We don't need them actually being more identifiable to the community members who are in favour of this man, because they all still need to live in Broome together.
It's very, that's so true. It's like, we need to put more measures in place when it comes to that as well. It's just the worst thing to see. And it reminds me of a lot of instances. This is a problem we have in this country. It's an issue. It just makes me think of so many other instances we've had in this country with young black youth. Well, just black youth in general. And I don't know why, like, there's not enough protective measures put in place. It's like, I think of Cassius Turvey. I think of Elijah Dowdy in Kalgoorlie. Cassius Turvey from here. It's a West Australian issue. It really is.
Seems to be, like, I think most people are well-versed on the really poor history of West Australia in terms of its treatment of First Nations people.
Perth,
like,
was a freaking... You needed a permit as a black fella to enter Perth back in the day, but no one wants to talk about it.
Yeah,
no one wants to talk about it.
If you don't know, like, please go and educate yourself.
Do
even
it.
There's a building on Murray Street, which I'm all too familiar with, which was the house of the... Well, it was the office of the Chief Protector of Aborigines.
Neville
that
the Devil.
That was the name.
Yeah.
And even in Broome, we had something called the Common Gate, where black fellas were locked out of town. Like, segregation is not some far-off idea. There are locals in that town that lived there when that existed.
Exactly.
And that's the same people that's, like, here now. So, like, what I wanted to highlight with this whole conversation, because, like, it's awful. I don't even want to think about it. But, like, I think some people are not aware of, like, how prevalent racism is in Broome, like, or just in general. Like, I feel like some people were so shocked by it, and it was shocking. It was awful, but, like, I wasn't surprised. You know what I mean? In a way, like,
I think we're immune to it
a little bit, and I see this stuff all the time. I'm on the Broome notice board, the Crime Watch pages. This happened around the corner from our prescribed body corporate for us mob to have opportunities and native title and self-determination. People feeling empowered to take things into their own hands. Like, please be so for real. And I absolutely love the photo that people put of, like, a stockman with black fellas chained up because it is exactly the same. History is repeating itself.
History is repeating itself, for sure.
And, like, if people won't hear you, they can see that and see the parallels and see that, like...
100%.
It's exactly the same. So, yeah, I just... We kind of felt it's necessary to touch on it, but... Mm. Yeah, I don't have all too many sentiments on that because I'm sure the people listening to this are well aware of why it's wrong. I just wanted to draw attention to the fact that, like, that town is a really, really awful place, and I feel for all my brothers and sisters that are there now that have to exist there.
Oh, RJ, I'm so sorry that's happening. And, yeah, as you said, it's a very prevalent issue, and you just wonder when it will end. But unfortunately, we've all evolved to a point now where we are immune to it and not really. Like, unfortunately, yes, you're phased by, you're angry, you get sad, but you're like, damn, it happens too frequently now. When is it going to end? And I think that's a very important conversation and a good thing we touched on it as well. What a place to be, living in the middle of the hills and the sea. It's so rude to me that I get to chase my dream with my friends and my family. I mean, so this episode,
we've had this planned for ages.
We actually have, and I'm actually so excited because we are reviewing Heartbreak High. Ooh, season one.
My best friend dumped me.
I'm a reject.
I have a lazy kebab vagina.
Map in the old stairwell.
The incest map.
What in the kids' helpline?
It was all about who hooked up with who in our year and what they did.
Rusty? Doughy? Think I can work out tongue punch in the fart box?
Given season two's coming out in the near future.
Yes, it's coming out in April. So, Heartbreak High, IJ. It is a 2022 reboot from one of Australia's classic TV shows from the 90s, which used to play on ABC. It follows a group of teenagers at Hartley High navigating through sexuality, racism, slut-shaming, consent. It's an interesting blend of Euphoria and Skins, as it's often described. Have you heard that as well?
I think so, and I think that's it's like similar. It's got the essence, but it's definitely its own kind of thing.
Because then it goes on to say it features diverse writing talents such as First Nations actor Maine White, who is a West Australian, and other First Nations producers behind the scenes. It was a global success, especially for Australian media, which tends to be undermined in the world. And fun fact, I just wanted to put this in there, Heartbreak High has 100% Rotten Tomatoes and an 88% audience score.
Woo!
Quite impressive, right?
I agree with that. Like, Australian media is really... It's slept on. Do you know the best movies I've ever seen are the ones that run at the cinemas, but they're like independent Australian movies? And I go to the cinema and they're empty, but the movie was wicked. Like,
it was.
People really sleep on Australian talent and all of that.
The actors, the beauty of it, the landscape, even the themes. One of the best plays I've ever seen was probably Cloud Street.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Ain't that right? Then, like, Brand New Day. We've got Brand New Day. That's a masterpiece.
The State Theatre here produces some really amazing things.
Really amazing.
And then when we see people, like, especially because we have Whopper in Perth, and when we see Whopper graduates, like, go and be so successful internationally, I think
Hugh Jackman, for example.
Hugh Jackman, Dacre Montgomery, like, even
he went to my school.
Slay!
I don't know. I just want to plug that. I don't know this man, but...
but, you know, like, to see them, like, have success on an international stage speaks to the, like, what's whatever's
Heath
in the
Ledger.
Water. Whatever's in the water
whatever's
here.
Whatever's in the water here. Like, we've got it all.
Yeah.
But, yes, we're reviewing Heartbreak High today. That's just a little bit of a premise we wanted to include before getting into it because we wanted to specifically talk about the Indigenous representation.
Yeah.
But also the representation
the whole thing, yeah,
in general.
In, as a whole.
Because it resonates so deeply with a lot of intersectional people.
I think so.
And I was amazed by it. But anyways, we'll get into that soon. IJ, tell me, what are your general thoughts about Heartbreak High when you first... we rewatched it, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched it because I saw it.
Well, yeah, if you
praised.
Weren't, if you didn't watch it, like, you were out of the conversation
exactly.
for, like, a good couple months because everyone was all about it.
Exactly. And I just remember liking it a lot because of its, what it
it's
had to
fresh.
Do.
It's definitely fresh to see those, like, we'll talk about it, but to see those faces,
yeah,
to see that cast picture, yeah. I was like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. It's intense, like, in the way, like, it's a lot jacked into, like, short episodes and a smaller season than a show with, like, six, seven seasons. But I think it's funny. I think it's so funny. I think it's got a lot of accurate depictions of certain things in there. I think it's, I'm running out of descriptive words here, but I really liked it. And I love, we talked about this. I don't know her name. Let me look her up.
Are you talking about Sherry Lee Watson?
No, the principal.
Oh my God. She's in so many movies.
She is one. She's the Nana in Moana.
Yes.
And she's in another Taika Waititi.
She's in the Thor movies, and she's in the Hunt for the World of People.
That's my favorite movie.
Same. That was deadly.
Oh my God. Oh, Rachel House.
Yeah, she's.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
I'm sorry.
Like, she was definitely one of the most well acclaimed people in that show.
She made it. Like, that whole thing was so funny.
She was awesome. She played the principal.
Yeah, we'll talk about how much it covers, but like, they had a massive undertaking in trying to cover all this content and themes and representation, but I think they did it like pretty well.
Yeah. Have you seen the original? No. Did you do research on the original?
No, I did not watch it. Soz.
Same. But only because I just don't know if I would have liked it as much as I liked the reboot. I'm only saying that because I know the original, which was set in the 90s and was aired on ABC and aired on there was another platform back in the 90s. Have a look at the cast and tell me what you think. But it had a little bit of a diverse cast. There was,
like, for the 90s.
For the 90s, I think you can say. It focused more on the working class. There was a lot of Lebanese, Greek, Italian representation. So
I think some of these people were like on Home and Away and stuff.
Yeah. So I think for the 90s.
Wow. Yeah.
For the 90s, it was probably pretty out there.
That's what I read. I read about like how at the time in the 90s, it was kind of a breakthrough thing. And I feel like it kind of, the reboot encapsulated that as well, because it was breakthrough again. And I think the juxtaposition between what was diverse in the 90s and what was diverse seeing the reboot is really interesting and, like, impactful in itself.
Mm.
Even, like, in the storyline, if you haven't heard it, like, a lot of their bonding happens in this, like, sex ed class thing they have to take.
We didn't even say the premise of the show. Well, sorry.
Yeah, it kind of, it's really
it's
big.
It's really big.
But it starts out with this wall that Amory and Harper, these friends, have made over time, basically describing
it
all the hookups
in
their year.
Yeah.
And it gets discovered and it creates this big uproar, and then the school starts this initiative to promote healthy sexual practices. Well, healthy, I say, in quotations.
Which is, I think, partly inspired by sex ed.
Oh, I haven't watched it. I need to watch it.
I've only watched up to season two. I haven't watched any recent seasons, but I will tell you what, it's worth it. If you like Heartbreak Heart, you'll like Sex Ed.
But I'm such a shy girl. Like, when people kiss on TV, I'm like,
I know.
Ew,
wait,
I, like,
do you still cover your eyes?
I skip it. Ew.
I know.
I can't watch
it. It's because of the trauma I had with my parents being in the same, like, we'd watch, like, a movie together. And I don't know, Muslim parents, they go, don't watch Haram. Oh. And then we just close our eyes.
I mean, yeah, if Peppa Pig's Haram, then God forbid anyone is kissing.
So it's always a bit awkward.
Yeah, like, oh, it was the opposite. My mum used to watch those, like, SBS movies and stuff that are really, like, she's like,
I know what you're talking
about. It's historically accurate. And I'm like, ew, get this out my face. I just want to eat dinner.
I have a vivid memory as a kid coming downstairs.
Ugh,
or
yuck.
Not coming downstairs, walking around the corner and seeing on TV those historical dramas,
like
on
Vikings,
SBS.
Like, getting with their cousins and stuff. Like, no.
Yeah.
But anyways, school does this whole, like, sex ed thing, and it's, like, from probably around the time, which I found was interesting, probably from around the time the first Heartbreak High was made, is the curriculum that they're being delivered. It's, like, really, like, old school notions.
Yes.
And, like, the style of cinematography is, like, all kind of, like, 80s, 90s.
Vibes.
Yeah, misogynistic and heteronormative and, like, lack of, like, talks around consent, X, Y, and Z.
Exactly. So, like, you know, that's good you put that up. And it does. Oh, my gosh. Actually, wait.
That's why I was, like, watching it. I was like,
links back.
Times have definitely changed. But
100%.
Yeah, I thought that was a really interesting part of it.
100%.
I don't know if Danny will keep this in, but I thought it was so funny. Like, in the first episode, there's, like, these disgruntled parents coming to the school, and there's, like, a huge pink dildo on the basketball ring, like, and she's saying to the groundsman, like, cover it up, and he, like, puts his hat over it, and I just thought it was so funny.
There were so many funny moments, and I remember that scene.
I feel like it's, like, giving, like, to me, because I never went to a public school, I felt like that's what public school was giving.
In a nutshell, actually, it is true. No, like, that's, I don't know if Danny will keep that in, but that was, like, best
that
scene.
Really,
like,
funny.
It was hilarious. But, yeah, no, that was the premise of Heartbreak High, and I guess I don't know, to be honest, like, I was kind of not expecting it to be that good. This, like, when I watched it the first time, I was like, oh, it's going to be so, because, you know, Australian media tends to be quite Americanized.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It felt like when I was watching it, I felt like I wanted to gatekeep it because I was seeing all these Americans post about it. And I'm like, no, that's our talent.
But that did contribute to their success because I saw it that did. They also won an Emmy. Like, good for them.
Good for them. Actually, wait, good for them. Those actors really deserve it. But yeah, and as you mentioned, like with the public school thing, I think personally it's a great accurate. It's an accurate representation of what a public school looks like, feels like, the vibe. It felt like, you know, the way they were behaving as well, you mentioned, like, that particular scene, or, like, the slang they would use, or, like, the eshays, and the fact that, like, the teachers just cannot tame a classroom, that enough was, like, that for me was, like, okay, you know, like, this is pretty accurate in representation. And I found that even the storyline itself, the premise itself was really interesting. But did you have any favourite characters or anything like that?
Oh my gosh, favorite.
There's so many characters.
I think it changed over the season because obviously people do things and then you're like, you don't like them, then you like them again. Like, it was an emotional roller coaster, really, because there was so much backstabbing in that show. Or like people just like.
I don't even did me like that.
Literally,
I swear,
like, dogging
God.
Their friends and stuff. And I'm just like, 100%. Oh, you want to love them, but then you can't. But that's also what makes them lovable. They're just humans and they make mistakes and then they be friends again
teenagers.
And then they learn.
Do you believe that they're in year 11?
Okay, that escaped me. But if we talk about other high school-esque shows, like, I never believe what year they're in.
Euphoria,
even, like,
I cannot.
Bloody, like, Riverdale and stuff, like, I don't believe
don't
that.
Don't start on
don't,
Riverdale.
No, don't start. Yeah, I wouldn't say, oh, you know who was my favourite? Is it Anthony?
Ant? Yeah.
Oh, because
Anthony
he's gorgeous.
Ant.
But,
actually,
I just loved that, like, comedic relief, that, like, background. I loved his style as well. Sorry.
Very skater boy-esque.
Yeah.
With a cap
and
like,
I think just the principal was my favorite.
She
just
was hilarious.
So funny.
And Ant was funny. Actually, I remember a scene. I think this is in the second last episode when they're locked up
in the building.
He like kneels down and he farts just casually. And then he says some prophetic line
like,
about Jesus.
Those, characters are important.
They are hilarious. They're really good to have that like break because there were so many heavy themes. Oh my God.
There
days.
Was, yeah.
Cash and Darren.
I love Cash.
Cash
I love
was
Cash
the
and Darren.
Best.
But I love Cash. Like, oh my God.
I did not expect my favorite character to be an asexual Eshe. Put that together. Asexual
Eshe. That's a mouthful. Asexual Eshe.
But also, like, just the thought of that, I don't know. That,
but, like, that is
so
really niche representation. But I'm like, that is representation. Like, if we look at statistics, like, there are. Like, LGBTQIA plus identifying people that also, like, kind of fit into that, like, Eshe stereotype in Australia. Like, they exist, I guess.
It's very intersectional. It's very interesting. It was very smart how the writers did that. I thought that was hilarious. I loved his nan.
Yeah.
She was hilarious. Their relationship was so cute.
You grow to love a character when you see their development.
Yeah.
And I think you can see from the start to the end of the season the development of
the
Cash.
Development.
And also, like, people like Darren, like Sasha and Quiddy that will talk about, like, where their character development is because of another character's character development. You know what I mean? Like, as each of them find themselves and figure things out, it helps the ones around them.
Very intertwined.
To, like, kind of find their identity as well and, like, learn boundaries of people and learn like how to be a good friend and a good partner and all these things. I thought that was
very realistic,
realistic.
Very real. Who was your least favorite character?
I agree with you again. I read like Charlene's brief. I'm so sorry. There was a show that was very popular on Netflix like when we were growing up and like they gave the main character a wig and I just thought it did her such a disservice and I don't like that show anyway.
No.
But even when I was trying to watch it, I could not stop looking at that busted wig. I'm like, you guys have millions of dollars and you guys can't put a wig on a white girl?
Like,
and make
please
it
be
look
for real.
Realistic.
That was not real.
It was bad. The side part was damn near her ear.
That was a meme in itself,
It
too.
Was bad and they kind of did Harper dirty as well because they obviously had to, like, shave her head and then, like, put a wig to, like, make up for the scenes and, like, bounce time,
it
whatever it was.
So out of place.
It bugged me. As a detail-oriented person, it bugged me. But also her whole, like, attitude bugged me.
You don't like Harper as a character?
I don't know if I did. I saw the whole story of like everything she went through and that's not great and I think that's good representation as well.
Yeah.
Like I feel like in Australia as well,
yeah,
there is a lot of issues with like familial substance abuse Harper went through, like, that is very, very, very prevalent.
It's very prevalent.
And that has been probably since long before the first Heartbreak High came out. So, like, that was a very important storyline. But, like, her, I think because of, like, her relationship with Amory and stuff, it kind of just...
It bugged me. But it was meant to, though.
It was, yeah, I think that was purposeful. So, yeah, unfortunately.
Harper, definitely, yeah, she's on there. And also Spider, I just...
How could we like him?
True, he was meant to be hated, but like I was just like, he reminds me of that one white boy you have in your school.
They did that well.
That just says the first thing on his mind.
Yeah.
But like whenever they were in, it's called sluts. Yeah. I'm not swearing. It's literally SLT. Called SLT, as that's their sexual education class. Whenever he would make those misogynistic comments about, why do we need to learn this?
And dapping up his friends and stuff. I'm like, wow, you guys did that well, but like, ugh. Annoying.
It just makes your blood boil looking at him. So I think they did a really good job. Do you think this was a true reflection of Australian high schools? I know we spoke about how it did resonate quite a lot, but I was going to flag the fact that it did feel quite American at times.
I guess I kind of thought they were in Heartbreak High World. Like, I kind of forgot they were in Australia.
Like it's like a whole other universe, but then they mentioned Sydney and I'm like, okay, so like, but again, maybe, and the school itself was not meant to be like top tier, like at all.
That's true. And I guess I feel like the, like, especially with the cast, it's like diversity on crack, like in a good way. Mm. Like, I feel like, especially through the clothes, they were able to express themselves. Like, I feel like costume department had a very good opportunity with that one to show the differences between the characters. So, like, I appreciate that we could see
personality,
but yeah, if we're gonna be like realistic, thinking of the shows we grew up watching where they're like actually in Australian high school, it's definitely different.
It's different. And then the lockers as well. Yeah. I've never had lockers. Like the whole...
Oh, no, I had lockers in my school.
No, but like the whole walking down the hallway and then like the boy leans against the locker talking to the girl.
Oh, my God, stop. Ew, that was my school. There was a couple that used to like...
What the hell? What is up with these schools? Like I've never had that experience of walking down like a hallway and then there's like people shutting lockers. I feel like that's so American to me. And then the basketball team. I'm like, basketball?
Yeah, you wrote that. I was like, can't be. Like, what kind of school did you go to?
No, I never had a basketball
team. Is
footy.
Normal.
Footy, yeah, netball, footy. Those are very Australian sports. I feel like basketball is like, well, maybe my school was just not sporty because I did go to a very privileged public school. But like, I felt like the whole basketball part of it. Oh, like, no, there's no way.
Okay, fair enough. But like, thank you for putting Thomas Weatherall in a basketball team because I was there for that.
Can we just mention Thomas Weatherall?
Malachi Bay. But, like, in such a subtle way. Mm. It's giving, like, crush vibes. It's not giving, like, jock, really super, like, stereotypical, like, I wouldn't use the words, like, big, hot, sexy crush. Mm. It was, like, someone you just, like, grow to love. Like, it just makes your heart, like, smile. Like, oh, Malachi.
It's, like, cute. He's so wholesome. He is so cute. We'll get into that. But, like, actually, wait, let me just ask, what did you even think about the Indigenous characters?
I loved Missy and Malachi. I loved that there was two of them. There wasn't just one.
Yeah.
I loved that they were, I'm pretty sure, bisexual, both of them.
They were, both of them.
I love that as well. That is really niche representation, which I loved because in my life, I've known a lot of lesbian and gay First Nations people. I haven't actually met too many bi First Nations people, but I loved that that was represented.
That was beautiful intersection.
I thought they were funny. I loved that they... deck them out in clothing the gaps. As much as I don't like when they like make the Aboriginal character like so Aboriginal,
we'll get into that.
Some of it was kind of eating. Like they looked really.
They
good.
Looked good. That, Missy's like, fit.
Yeah, they looked really good.
And that's something I love. It's not so much in your face. Like it didn't feel like.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, with Missy, Missy's played by the beautiful Sherry Lee Watson. She's stunning. I stalked her Instagram.
I know, she's so pretty.
She is literally a doll. And then Malachi is played by, as we said, Thomas Weatherall.
He's a dancer right now in South Australia.
Really?
And I'm so sad I can't go because I'm in bummy Perth.
We're stuck here. We're stuck in the hood. And yeah, no, we've got them. They're both First Nations actors within the main cast. And then we have other white, non-white people like Darren, who is played by James Majuse, I think I'm saying that correctly, who is South African-Australian. And then we've got the teacher, Jojo Oba, who's played by Chika Ogui, who is like a Nigerian-Australian. And then our leading lady, of course, is Amory, who is played by Aisha Maiden, who is a South Asian-Australian. And I'll just say one thing, like, before we get into the talks about the Indigenous representation, her character felt so real to me because she isn't your typical, like American TV shows tend to do this when the leading role, the leading lady is an Indian woman or, like, yeah. I guess a brown girl, they tend to stereotype them into a box. Like, the mom has to be strict. Or
like, bend it like Beckham.
Bend it like Beckham. Or, like, oh, I don't know. There's so many other shows, like, that have that. Like, mom, you don't understand. Like, you know what I mean? I felt nice.
Yeah.
It felt refreshing seeing a main girl be brown, but not just
and
brown.
And her mom
but,
was, like, young.
Young.
And, like, kind of...
Exactly.
More.
I loved it. And maybe this is like my brain just being accustomed to seeing brown girls being depicted as like Indian or whatever. There was a scene of her sitting at the table with her family having dinner night. And I'm like, okay, they're going to have roti and they're going to have like curry or something. Mm. No. The mum pulled out tacos. And I'm like, okay, that is so refreshing. Didn't feel like it was, they wanted to box her as an Indian girl. Her race wasn't even mentioned. It just felt like we were watching
That's
a brown
very natural,
girl
yeah.
flawlessly on screen. But in terms of our Indigenous actors, what did you think about our Indigenous representation? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think I've kind of touched on it. Like, I appreciate yeah. that there was two of them. I appreciate that they were bisexual. I appreciate that they had more to contribute to the storyline than just their Aboriginality. Mm-hmm. I do think, like, we'll talk about it sometimes, it's like, Edley Boss, clothing the gap.
Good,
like,
Anna.
Which is true. And look, if you have to encapsulate all the First Nations people in two characters in a show, you're never going to do it, which is fair enough. Like, I do think they did well. I'm always going to be sad when, like, a First Nations person is not, like, the main character. Like,
I know.
I don't want them to... They're not subsidiary characters, but...
They're not even in the periphery. They had their own stories.
Yeah.
Especially with Malachi's character. Again, he's exploring his sexuality. He was coming to terms with it, which was beautiful to see because you don't often see that in media. I agree with you on that. Like,
the only other thing I could say is that... And this might also speak to just, like, more people... getting more opportunities and being known to talent agencies and stuff. I'd love to see like a really
like
dark skin
or
a different looking
Torres Strait Islander,
especially having grown up in high school with 50% Aboriginal people. And like I was the lightest that it gets. And me, I'm like,
there's
darker
diversity
than
within
people.
Diversity. We're
there
a very
is.
Diverse group of people.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. You're right. To see more mob in
that
show.
Yeah. Or like non-metro mob, but I'm definitely biased because I'm like not from the city.
Yeah. Country.
But I love them.
As you mentioned, like I could not take the whole, sometimes the stereotypical deadly and like all of that. Brother,
it gets
sister.
A bit much sometimes.
It can. I know it was for the plot because it did have something. We'll get into it, but it did have something got to do with Malachi's plot. But still, I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. I don't know how I feel about that. But
I'd wonder how like maybe other people
perceived it
or other people that are being represented through the show felt about their kind of representation, mm-hmm. whether that was about neurodivergence or their sexuality or whatever. Oh. I wonder if they feel like that was an accurate representation or there's just like some stereotypical things they put in as well. Like, I wonder. I can't speak on like other people's
Sasha.
Behalf.
Sasha. Sorry, I forgot to mention.
Yeah,
I did not like her character.
Gemma Chua Tran?
Yeah.
She was in like Mustangs FC when I was growing up. Like, love.
She's awesome. She's beautiful. Like the actress, but not Sasha the character.
Yeah,
she really, I think when you talk about, I think it was, I'm part of the neurodivergent community, I guess, in the sense that I have ADHD. So Quinny was on the spectrum.
Played by Chloe Hayden, who I love. And like, it should be absolute baseline that neurodivergent people play neurodivergent characters. Like, I don't know why that's like never been a thing, but like,
I'm glad that
happened. Love Chloe Hayden.
Her writing is really beautiful. I read something she wrote recently.
She has a book.
She's awesome. Yeah, I think Sasha playing an albino character and not understanding what it's like to be on the spectrum and to be to be neurodivergent was pretty realistic.
Mm.
As, again, intersectionality, that intersectionality for me being neurodivergent and black, I felt seen at times.
Yeah.
So I thought that particular, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of everyone and I'm not autistic, but I do think that that was portrayed very, like, the ignorance, the biased comments she would make. I'm like,
it was so sad. Was it on the bus that there was like that?
Oh, she's on the spectrum.
Yeah.
Like, she kept saying that, or she didn't understand the sensory issues, or she kept judging her whenever, like, judging Quinny.
My heart broke for Quinny when Quinny was like weeping. Oh my God, don't.
Oh, that's
it. It's so awful. But I think it is maybe realistic, like, in the way that there are people so, like, ignorant or that really, really struggle to understand. And, like, I hope that people can watch that and then clock their biases and their comments and also, like, look at the world through Quinny's eyes and know, like, if I have a partner or a friend that's neurodivergent, like, maybe it gives them some perspective, because you can't be putting people through that and making comments like that.
Wrong.
It is so, it was really hard to watch, like, to see someone. I felt, my heart broke. But yeah, I hope that people can watch it and, like, clock themselves if they ever, like, resonated with Sasha in any kind of way, but, like, learn from Sasha's mistakes. And, you know, that was kind of...
I agree. It's very relevant to what we brought up at the start of this episode. The police brutality scene, which was episode 4, it was called Rack Off. And that episode was a roller coaster, I must say. Every episode went for like an hour each.
I don't remember.
It went for an hour each. It was a big episode. It was directed by, as we mentioned before, Mayne White, an Indigenous actor from Western Australia. I'm glad he took creative control over this episode, but IJ, before we get into it, let's just talk about what the episode entailed so we can give people some of a
perspective.
So it started off with the sexual education class having police officers come in to do a presentation on how to be on self-defense when you're in a situation of harassment. And ironic, right? But the scene, I guess it was a good foreshadowing at the beginning of the episode, because these police officers were depicted as quite goofy, not really knowing what they were talking about. It was a big constable, and people, like, they were all pulling the piss and laughing at him. And then there was that one police officer who was, like, teaching the boys about, was it, like, how to fight or something? I don't know. But he was just being really goofy, and no one took it seriously, and it kept panning on Malachi's face. So that was really... I guess that was good foreshadowing on that part. And then the episode progresses and they end up at a Mardi Gras party. And Malachi was... It was meant to be a pivotal moment for Malachi and Amory. It was focused more on their relationship building up and him asking her out and whatever. Until police showed up at the party. And there was that moment where he's walking off. And everyone's walking off and the police are behind him, but the police target him. And he's saying things like, F off, you dog. Leave me alone. What, do you have a problem? Like, you know, he was being targeted by the police officer and he was clearly vulnerable. And then he gets thrown on the ground by him. And then everyone around him starts filming and being attacked and assaulted by this police officer.
That episode was like a crater just like hit the show, you know what I mean? Watching it, I was like I think when it ended, I was like, what
just happened?
Yeah, it's like it's a lot, but in the same way, that's kind of the nature of this thing. Like, it's
it has to be a lot.
There's never a build up. It is like, that is the essence of racism in Australia. It's sporadic. It's like
out of nowhere, least expected.
Yeah, exactly. In the most untypical situation, racism still exists.
It does. And then there was exactly, and then that was even further highlighted when Amory was filming the incident and then was like to him, we need to show people, we need to post this somewhere. And he was like, nothing. Malachi's first response was, nothing will happen.
Yeah.
Nothing will happen. Do not post it. Nothing will happen. They won't do anything. Blah, blah, blah. No one cares. No one will do anything. But like, it was interesting because Spider in the background was like, you shouldn't have sworn at him, mate. Like, you shouldn't have yelled at him.
They always,
there's always that.
It is actually so relevant to what we talked about in the first segment of this, because we're dealing with this kind of like white savior, little like police gonna be big vigilante. I think it's really important that they showed Amory and Malachi, and like Amory feeling like she was trying to do good, because I feel like a lot of people do feel that way. And me, I've had non-First Nations partners before. And there was this incident, like, in 2018, I was at this market and I had an Aboriginal flag shirt on, and this man, like, punched me in my stomach, like, winded me,
of
the flag, mind you. And I explained it to my boyfriend at the time, and he just, like, could not, for the life of him, understand. Like, he was like, it wasn't a race thing. And that's not the same as what Amory's doing, but it's like, just listen to the person who it affects. Like, don't take matters into your own hands.
Don't
make your own assumptions. Don't think you can be a big hero or, like, you know, fix this, like, listen to First Nations people, you know what I mean? And I think the hangover of what happened to Malachi is also real. Like, I don't know about you, but like, when the Voice referendum thing happened this year, like, I was shattered for weeks. Like, it was a wake-up call, as if I don't have wake-up calls all the time with the racism that exists, that the world is a really harsh place and a dangerous place and not accepting place for black fellas. And like, I was shattered for weeks, and I feel like Malachi just like his whole life being derailed by this incident is really accurate because,
he was traumatized. That no outcome, was really heart-wrenching to see. It's very prevalent, as we mentioned. He knew they were not going to do anything. In fact, he was often asked, oh, if you need anything, like, let us know. And, like, it felt like nothing was done. And then also the trauma that came after it, I felt like that was realistically portrayed. There was that scene of him when Kobe D just randomly popped out of nowhere. I was like, damn. What? Like, what's going on? Next minute they're going to get, like, I don't
everybody.
Know. Everybody.
Baka. Bring her in, sis.
Literally. Where she at? When they went on country to heal, that trauma of it was really nicely intertwined into the plot in the sense that he just experienced something so tragic and he was vulnerable and that he's a First Nations boy. He's a First Nations man. He went from being so goofy and happy to a new school and then he kind of gave him a character arc and gave him like a kind of made us Indigenous mom watching empathize and sympathize with the way this story was going. It felt so real and so sad and a lot of people were shattered by it just by watching
it. And I guess we talk about like intergenerational trauma and that like or that things have lasting effects and people white people or racist people will often brush that off.
100%.
But I feel like the show is demonstrating that. Like, it is not like get up, brush yourself off, have a cry, have a week off school and then you're back to normal. Like these things are life shattering and life altering. And if Malachi's life continues, you know, his kids will feel the impacts of that incident. And I feel like that's important to know.
That's so true. I love that, sis. I remember watching this episode before there was the trigger warning at the start. It would be distressing for First Nations people watching this. And then she posted on her story, she's a First Nations DJ, and she posted on her story that it felt quite triggering to watch that episode without there being a trigger warning.
Fair.
And it felt like she was just witnessing something out of the blue and she did not feel like that was well done from it. And she and then immediately Heartbreak High episode, they got involved and they put a trigger warning at the start, so that was good. And so I thought that was a bit maybe next time put a trigger warning, and maybe they forgot, I don't know. But then there was also that ending, which I was mad about. At the end, Malachi's in a very vulnerable state,
and let's just say
did not vibe. But that was a very powerful episode. And I'm glad we had First Nations control over it with Main White being the director.
Yeah, I feel like you can stomach things like that a lot better when you know at least someone First Nation has had like a lot of control over it.
True.
I appreciate that.
True. What do you predict for season 2 of Heartbreak High? And what do you want to see like in our characters and the First Nations characters? Like what do you want to see?
I don't think I have any season 2 predictions. Like, I really don't know, but
I'm keen on seeing more of Missy. Like, I think she needs her character.
I think she's interesting. Yeah. I think, like, she could have a really cool backstory.
Oh, I think so, too.
And I think, like, she could be really valuable in, like, the core cast because she is, like, kind of like if we were going to tier the level of characters, like, she's more in the back.
Yeah.
So, I agree. I'd like to see more of Missy. And like what we do with the podcast, like debunking that like really staunch, loud, out there, like black girl. Like she's got things she's interested in.
She has a personality.
She's got a personality that's separate from her Aboriginality.
Maybe they could put some clothing in the gaps on like other actors.
True.
That would be cool.
True.
By the way, I didn't like Dusty at all. Nope.
A bit 2D, but I guess there are 2D men out there, so he's representing them.
He is, but I just did not vibe with his character at all, and I just felt like with his prediction, I was like, oh, yeah, nah, he's probably going to get a character. What's the word? They're going to character redemption arc. Is that what it's called? A redemption arc.
You think?
I think so. I think they're going to do something season 2 where he's going to be like different. But then I don't know how he can come back from what he did in the last episode. And Cash.
Love Cash.
The ending.
Yeah.
That ending was crazy. I predict something's going to happen. Some massive thing.
I think either way, we're going to be watching. Like, I want to know. Yeah, your boy, he had to put the city on the map. Boorilu, my sister girl, you know exactly where it's at. But yes, thank you for listening to our review of Heartbreak High. We're going to move on to a quick express sovereignty, which is our thoughts, energy, and affirmations for the week.
It is. It's my favorite segment, and it just allows us to like tune in for the week. So do you want to go first, IJ? What's your thoughts, energy, and affirmations for the week ahead? I did not write mine down, but all I can say is just quickly, my thoughts for the week ahead. It's Ramadan, and I'm trying to establish a routine in my life, but I feel so happy right now. Like, I genuinely feel so happy. I feel like a main character sometimes. Aww. Like, I wake up in the morning, I have my cute little, like, routine. I have a routine established, but I just want to enhance it a little bit more. Today, like, I love, like, preparing for Ramadan, for the iftar, sorry, when we break our fast. Like, today, me and my mum were just sitting down and, like, folding samosas. That's and, like, so my heart cute. Was melting. I had to quickly run to, like, the shops.
You're very dedicated.
I am very dedicated. I had to run to the shops after work. And I went to, and you know how the shopping center plays music? They were playing I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys. And I was just walking through it. And then it was 5 o'clock and everyone's shutting their stores. And all the workers were like, this is old lady singing it. And then I was like, oh, that's cute. She's like singing, I want it that way. And then I kept walking further. I'm trying to exit the store, by the way. I have all my stuff with me. And then there's like this old couple, not old couple, they look like middle-aged couple walking. And the lady was singing it and the man was laughing. And she's like, I want it. And I'm like, oh my God, okay, everyone's singing
today.
You're
in a movie, you're in La La Land.
And then I'm walking out and these like two little boys, they're just like chilling out the front. And they were like, oh my God, I love this song.
Oh my God. It's like a flash mob, but like choir.
It made me so happy. And like the smiles on their faces. And I was like crying when I don't know, maybe I'm PMSing. Crying in my car. And I was like, that was so beautiful. And the song ended as soon as I walked out of the store.
Oh my God.
So doesn't that go to show?
Movie sequence.
I'm really happy. And my energy is just going to be towards that happiness. My affirmation for the week ahead is I am going to take it easy because it can be really distressing this time of the month and like obligations and all that sort of stuff. So I'm just going to take it easy. Nothing
cool.
too serious.
Ride the wave.
What about you, girl?
I'm sick, as I talked about. I hate being sick for a lot of reasons. It makes you appreciate when you're healthy.
Yeah. 100%.
I'm also so busy and life doesn't like stop because I'm sick. So it's really like,
you
difficult.
Said every episode, I'm so busy, guys.
I am so busy, guys. Seriously, it's really annoying. And I get really sad when I'm sick because it reminds
me. Right?
Yeah. And it reminds me that I'm like here alone and I don't have my family because like, I have to like take myself to the doctors. I've driven myself to the hospital twice now.
Sis.
I have good friends. Like I know if I ever needed anything, like Charlene and I have some friends like Priyanka, Aisha, Jordan, like all of you like would be there for me. I know that. But like it's just hard sometimes. I cry because I'm like, you know, my mum can't like bring me anything or make me anything. I'm just like literally like dealing with it
and
alone.
And it's also the best time. Like this is me when I'm sick. I love to get validation from my mum when I'm sick. I like... Maybe it's just me attention seeking, but I love it when she goes, oh, my poor girl. Like, you know what I mean?
Mom,
so I can't
I'm
imagine
so
that.
I know. It is hard and just like not anyone cutting you slack because no one knows what you're going through. But it's fine. I just always get sad around this time. I always cry at least once when I'm sick because I'm like, I don't have any family.
I'm here for you if you ever need anything.
It's fine.
I can take
like,
you
I'll
to the
fine.
Hospital if
Stop.
You ever need.
But also something that's been in my thoughts, not to dampen like my sovereignty, and it always like everything always seems immaterial after we speak about things this sad, but like in my thoughts so much have been the people of Gaza and Palestine.
Oh,
and
don't
all this,
you want to make me cry
time.
I did not want to bring this up.
I know,
only because
I didn't want to bring it up, but with Ramadan and like it's just always at the forefront of my brain, and I have been trying my best to keep them in my mind, donate when I see videos of people say they need to get their family here and there. And just like I was in the city and there was a protest and I was just like, I was brought to tears because I was like, I just hope they know we're making noise. Like, I really, really hope they know. Like, I just, you know.
Especially with this time of the year.
These people have been not even fasting. They've been starved for months and they're still partaking in Ramadan.
They are. Even with the roads blocked and they're trying to get home to their families.
Exactly.
Even with the state of Gaza right now, it's terrible. It's sad.
Yeah. Seeing themselves do Ramadan in their houses last year with their families and now they're in tents. Like it is definitely at the forefront of my brain, and this is like a very unique Ramadan in the way of like this is all happening at the same time. But I just think if there's anything to take from it, these people are the most strongest people in the world to stand there and pray on burnt mosques, you know, like
it's very heart-wrenching because there's so much happening right now and you know there's no aid, there's nothing being done really, and it's heartbreaking and I it makes you feel grateful for what you have. It just makes me so sad. Oh my
it
God.
Is it's sad, it really really is. And my thing is, I, you know, do all that you can, make noise or donate. I've been trying my best with my little money to give where I can, and
It is the month of Ramadan. Zakat, charity is important, and it is our brothers and sisters. For everyone, for our brothers and sisters in Palestine.
So, yes, I just wanted to remind everyone that because our life goes on, these people still live this harsh, awful reality. So remember it.
That's a beautiful reminder. Thank you, sis.
My energy is, I'm just chipping away at everything very slowly because I have so much on. Doing little things all the time, chipping away at it, because I think I've bitten off more than I can chew in life, actually. I've signed up for like too much. So right now, because I'm locked into all these contracts, just got to chip away at things.
Chip away.
Little by little.
100%.
And my affirmation, I used a card again to get this affirmation, is I am divinely guided.
Oh, beautiful.
And it's kind of like, I really believe you can't fight fate.
No,
you
can't.
A friend go through something quite awful, and all I could say to him was, you can't fight fate. This was written for you a long time ago, and it will direct you where you need to go. Mm. You know, even as awful
as it is. There's that concept of, in Arabic, it's called qadr, which means like your fate has been written.
Exactly. That's all I could say, and that's the only comfort you can kind of bring to someone, is that everything that's happened thus far was divinely written for you, and you are divinely guided, and this awful thing was always meant for you anyways.
Yeah.
You know?
Beautiful,
so that was kind
IJ.
Of what I had to say.
What a beautiful way to wrap this up. You cannot fight fate. And that wraps up our episode. So if you would like
listening.
Yes. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to keep updated on what we're up to, you can follow us on Instagram at Sovereign Podcast. And if you'd like to share some thoughts on our episode or have any ideas, you can reach out on our email, sovereign@rtrfm.com.au.
Thank you so much for listening to Late Night Sovereign.
Yes, this is Late Night Sovereign. It's like 9 o'clock now. I'm so hungry right now. I only had one samosa. But we will see you next fortnight for some goofiness.
Yep.
And yeah,
have
see
a good
everyone.
Week. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Sovereign, a new RTRFM podcast by Sister Girls for Sister Girls, as well as any other mob and beautiful people that may relate.
I'm Charlene.
And I'm IJ.
And Sovereign would not be possible without the help and support of our team.
Big love to photographer Cole Baxter for our beautiful cover photo.
Music is Summertime Flow by Noongar Whangai rapper Joshua Eggington and Tani Walker. Sovereign is produced by Charlene Baloch and IJ McKenna.
Our artwork is by my sis, Lavinia Nedolia McKenna.
Our executive producer is Daniel Raphael.
This podcast was created and recorded at RTRFM on Wajak Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.